good to see you guys. Don, how are you doing?
Doing good.
Good. It's always nice to have you back in studio.
Yeah, I've been preoccupied.
You've got some things going on.
Yeah.
We were just talking about how much more important you are than us, which is all right.
I probably should listen to some of the past shows here just to make sure that...
No, you don't need to.
Don't do that.
You shouldn't do that?
Don't do that.
Don't do that.
Okay. No. Don't do that.
That's not a good idea.
No. Definitely don't want to do that.
Do you know how fast we get done, though?
We're done in a heartbeat. It's like chop, chop,
done. It's only 30 minutes.
Choppity, chop, chop.
No.
No.
No, we're just
don't have interruptions. It takes an hour if it's us three.
Oh.
It's a half hour if it's me and this guy.
Well, that's because Olson talks more off mic than he does on mic.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
No, apparently. I think the common denominator is over
to my right.
Way.
Yeah, exactly.
To my left.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
There is one piece that always seems it adds to the stuff. So that's the way it works. We're not the only place. We talked a little bit about ice fishing before and the ice safety. And it doesn't have to be just fishing. It could be somebody deciding to go walk out on the ice for skate on the ice or whatever that might
right.
be. And out in Maine, ice fishing is a big thing out there.
Sure.
Any of the northern tier areas. Ice fishing in Tennessee, not so much.
There is one thing that really has to be part of the equation.
Ice house? Oh, ice.
Ice.
Ice, baby. Yeah, that would be a helpful thing.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's pretty hard to do without it.
So back to the story. Maine man, gentleman, not a... Not the main man, but
a person from Maine.
Main man.
I got you.
Yep. It's spelled differently, too, by the way, just to let you know.
Right.
Amazing how one letter can change the meaning of everything.
Yep.
He drowned in a lake after checking the ice thickness for fishing.
He waited too far from shore to check.
Two men fell into the frigid water after hearing the ice crack. Walter Demon, 62, from Milford, Maine, drowned in a quakish lake in Maine after checking the ice for thickness. His body was recovered about an hour later with help from Rescue Raft. They emphasized the need, obviously, game wardens to caution regarding ice thickness. He was checking the ice thickness, and he crashed through the icy water and drowned. He was drilling holes with a friend to check the ice thickness while preparing to fish when they heard the ice crack. Both men ended up in the water about 75 yards from shore and not too far from T3 Indian Township Purchase, which is about 8 miles southwest of Millinocket, Maine. Two fishermen were communicating with each other as they tried to get back on the ice before Demons told his friend he wasn't going to make it and slid under the ice. That's a sad story. Friend who eventually got back onto the ice dialed 911, was treated for hypothermia. And the other friend of his was recovered an hour later. They warned, be especially vigilant of ice thickness, noting that early ice conditions can be treacherous. Not only treacherous, inconsistent. That's the big problem. You may find one stretch that's just fine and may have formed later than another section. So,
well, you just don't know where there's an underwater spring that is bubbling under there, and it can be 3, 4, 5, 6 inches, and the next thing you know, it's a half inch.
Well, and you've seen a lot of people going to the lakes around here. If they go drive on the lake, they're, it's just fine. No. No, it's not.
Right.
Because there's been areas where fish have, large schools of fish have hung out like carp, and they have actually warmed up, and they've proven this, that they've actually warmed up the under
just
thickness
the
of the ice
the
enough.
The
they've stayed in one spot
yep.
that it was thin enough and the car went through.
Yep.
Up a local lake in the Twin Cities. So, yeah, not a good thing. Let's just say that. Story that I pulled up, you had mentioned it when you came in. You said, hey, have you heard about the wolf things that are going on? Mentioned that story. I was kind of surprised at that.
Yeah, I read a story on they had collared a wolf up in northern Michigan, up in the Upper Peninsula, and that this fall, and it's being tracked by satellite.
Yep.
That wolf traveled all the way, the full length of
from
Upper Peninsula,
UP,
Michigan,
right?
From the UP, all the way through Wisconsin, all the way down to La Crosse, Wisconsin, which is in the southwest corner of the state.
Took a break.
And then it turned north and went up along, it followed the Mississippi River on the Wisconsin side, all the way up up to in near the Taylor's Falls area, which would be north of the metro. And it somehow crossed the Mississippi, and it ended up tracking. They tracked it all the way south of Mille Lacs Lake, all the way up to Fargo, North Dakota. From Fargo, it went, and you get into that part of the country, there's not
now
a lot of things.
Now he's still moving.
Well, and there's not a lot of places to hide. I mean, you should be able to see a wolf in those big open fields.
Oh, yeah. This and sounds like a Forrest Gump of wolves.
Yeah. Well, and you know what they said, this wolf, what they do is they're literally searching for areas where they feel they can create a
pack.
Their own pack. They ended up going about 60 miles into Canada, past the northwest side of Minnesota, and then it came back down into Minnesota, and somewhere inside of Minnesota, the wolf got shot.
Yeah, gotcha.
They don't know who did it, but that wolf had traveled just shy of 2,000 miles, which I just think, when you think, you hear of people saying, some of these wild animals are tracking all over. I mean, we've had mountain lions in our area. We have black bear, wolves. I've heard of wolves.
Elk.
I haven't heard of moose. Have you heard of moose on the loose?
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard of that story? Moose on the loose, he expired.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. He made it all the way from Canada, all the way down to Spirit Lake, Iowa, and he went through the lake, through the ice. And didn't make it.
No kidding.
Yeah.
No one told him that there was thin ice.
And there's a lot of people that were, giving the DNR a lot of trouble. Why didn't you get them before they got to the ice? Look, folks.
It happens.
There's lakes in northern Minnesota, and there's lakes in Canada. I mean, that's part of their world, and it's just unfortunate that it ends that way.
I think the old adage, or newer adage, is screw around and find out. Apparently, he screwed around and found out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah. So there was a Facebook page. It's called Moose on the Loose. And every time it was sighted, somebody would post on it where they sighted it. So,
wow.
Because this one wasn't collared. It was just by visual and photos.
You look at the wandering aspect. The same thing with fish, same thing with everything else. But that aspect, and when you have a predator, like a wolf or a cougar, that's when you start to have to be very careful and watch what's going on, because you never know. It could be a larger and growing population, and then it becomes dangerous. So next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking to some of the guys from Seattle area, and we had brought the story up before about the administration wanting to introduce
grizzly bear, yeah,
in that area. And these guys have been on... Jesse on Fox
had been on Jesse Waters
World.
Yep.
They've been on with him several times. In fact, I was in the boat with them when they were talking to Jesse about this, talking about this topic with them. And it's very surprising how little people, administration or governments have an understanding of something. They simply do a knee-jerk reaction rather than having a full understanding, whether it's a weapon, not understanding what a difference between a fully automatic weapon is versus a semi-automatic weapon versus a bolt action. There is an over-under shotgun. There is no understanding, and they simply go off like they know. And this is a prime example when you have a community that doesn't matter if there was grizzly bears there how many years before. That doesn't matter. What matters is...
this coming out of Washington?
Washington.
Well, I would just simply say for every grizzly they plant there, put one in Washington. They'll learn quickly.
Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's some things that happened recently that they decided that suddenly they couldn't handle...
maybe not a good idea.
Some migrations of other types, and they couldn't handle that as well.
Right.
But I think that's... that has to be examined. And more of a practical scenario. So that's kind of a neat deal. But what you're going to look at with that conversation is going to be happening as well. So that's going to be kind of cool to have that conversation with those guys. So the story came out, Don, that I think I'm going to puberty for a second there. I'm better now. Newly published study examines deer behavior in the presence of wolves. So it taps into the same story you had. There are interesting, this is a postdoctoral associate and the lead author of the study. We're interested in learning if there's a difference in deer vigilance between areas and wolves and without wolves in terms of their huntability. Essentially, do wolves make hunting more difficult? And they posted that perceived presence of wolves would cause deer to be more alert while feeding, and their vigilance could be measured through physical clues. And they went through, there's some of the graphs done. I mean, it's pretty crazy. This was in UP of Michigan and upper and lower Michigan that they tested it. And they were looking at cover as far as vegetation. They went all through the whole enchilada. Now, this is where I'm going to throw this out to you, and I want your opinion.
Okay.
This is the takeaway for us, the hunter. If wolf-pressured deer everywhere restrict their daytime activity as much as those in this study, it would logically have implications for hunters as well as landscape-wide deer management. When asked by email what deer management implications might be for a population that is pressured into nocturnal patterns, meaning if they're pressured, they are going to go nocturnal only at night, Minnesota DNR Big Game Program leader declined to comment. I don't think we can say anything about how this relates to Minnesota deer hunting when the research was conducted in a state that allows baiting, which is centered around deer activity at a bait site. They acknowledged the role of bait and said, take it with a grain of salt, haha. When drawing conclusions, she said, it would be possible to conduct a similar study, perhaps over food plots and to avoid such use of bait. That use of the bait certainly made it easier to collect data and images of deer. In the discussion portion, authors acknowledged controversial nature of baiting deer were allowed for hunting. And relating to the nature of the study, they wrote that baiting creates a predictable food source that concentrates deer and deer scent, which in turn attracts wolves. So basically, the Minnesota DNR said, I'm sorry, we're not validating your test. And I would disagree.
Well, there's a point there. I mean, if the deer are congregating in one particular area because of...
I'm glad you said that. What happens in winter in northern Minnesota? When the snow gets deep, what do the deer do? They herd up.
They do.
They absolutely herd up. They trample down. If you're not familiar with that, what it is they will gather and basically trample an area down. They will feed on that area until the whatever they're feeding on, the low-growing branches are gone, the conifers usually. And then they'll shift and move that herd. Well, the reason they're there is that they can get around. When the snow is deep, they can't move. And the wolves know that. When they find a herd, in this case, this proves exactly that. When they find a herd, they're going to pick them off one by one by one. The more herd, the more packs of wolves that there are, and the less control, the more they will hit and devastate the herd that is, and it's more than one herd of deer. I mean, it's a large grouping of deer. I mean, I'm not talking about 20 deer. I'm talking hundreds of deer that will do that. And in this particular case, guess what? It's the same as having a bait situation. It doesn't have to be hunting. It could be, it affects the population in general. And I still say it will affect the deer. It will affect when they feed, how they feed, and where their patterns are if they know that there is or are wolves in the area, and they will shift nocturnal. You found that out.
Yeah. No kidding.
Which is one of those things that,
You know, in the story that I was reading about this wolf that had tracked a couple thousand miles, there was a lot of comments on it. And the authorities from, this is in the state of Wisconsin, were simply saying that the deer mortality is much greater from deep snow for deer than it is from wolf predation. Not that isn't a factor too, but I mean, they're simply saying
I think it's a 1-2. I mean, there's a relationship, obviously.
Yeah, you know? But I think it's the deep snow is going to prevent deer from getting to
food areas,
food source,
yeah,
and or water. So that's part of it. Actually, they say it's a bigger part of it than the wolf predation, but there still is. So
that's going to be kind of a controversial piece that we'll have to follow. And I think, I don't know. I know
there've been in northeastern Minnesota. I know the deer production was down considerably from previous years, and they've had some lots of meetings up in that part of the state with the DNR to talk about these very issues. Yeah. And that's part of it.
Yeah. No, it's. I will say it. What I find is difficult is what information are you getting that is valid versus what people can come up with that's not correlating, okay? Meaning, they're saying, well, does wolf population cause the deer to go nocturnal and affect hunting? I'm taking it from a more base level where are the larger populations of wolves causing more significant predation of the deer population? Snow is going to do it, but add the snow on top of a greater pack of wolves, what happens?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know what the count is. I think it's like 2,000 in Minnesota. It's like 4,000 in Wisconsin.
And they're
kind of...
They're more.
Well, there's probably more. And I think even wolf mortality is quite high. So anyway, it's an issue I got to leave up to the DNR. I don't think we're going to solve it.
No, you know, I will say this: it's going to get more passionate the longer this goes without any. You know, they lifted the maximum wolves that they had in Wisconsin. They lifted that number. And said, well, we're not going to have a maximum at this point. We're just going to not do anything about it.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, right now it's under federal protection. So, I mean, the states can't do anything about it until that would change. So.
Yep, exactly. Hey, guys, you know what? We're going to talk about we mentioned the Christmas stuff, Don. And we're going to talk about that next week. You're going to have a bunch more for me, right? You're going to have a bunch. Ava's going to come in with some. I've got special ones, so yeah, I'm not going to reveal them until the appropriate time. So, tell you what, we are the Valley Outdoors for Don, Abe, and myself. Glad to have you guys with us. See you next week.